Chernabog lit a cigarette, but did not cough.
They did it with the hammer. Grimnir, he would talk of the gallows and the spear, but for me, it is one thing.
He reached out a nicotine-colored finger and tapped it hard in the center of Shadow's forehead.
Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. One day I will take my hammer and do much worse than that to you, my friend. Remember?
Yes. But if you tap my head again, I'll break your hand.
Chernabog snorted, then said,
They should be grateful, the people here. There was such power raised. Even 30 years after they forced my people into hiding, this very land gave us the greatest movie star of all time. She was the greatest there ever was.
Judy Garland?
Chernabog shook his head curtly.
He's talking about Louise Brooks.
Shadow decided not to ask who Louise Brooks was. Instead, he said,
So, look, when Wednesday went to talk to them, he did it under a truce.
Yes.
And now we're going to get Wednesday's body from them as a truce?
Yes.
And we know that they want me dead or out of the way.
They want all of us dead.
So, what I don't get is, why do we think they'll play fair this time, when they didn't for Wednesday?
That is why we are meeting at the center, is...
He frowned.
What is the word for it? The opposite of sacred.
Profane.
No, I mean when a place is less sacred than any other place. Of negative sacredness. Places where they can build no temples. Places where people will not come and will leave as soon as they can. Places where gods only walk if they are forced to.
I don't know. I don't think there is a word for it.
All of America has it. A little. That is why we are not welcome here. But the center is worst. It's like a minefield. We all tread too carefully there to dare break the truce.
I told you all this already,
said Mr. Nancy.
Whatever,
said Shadow. They had reached the bus. Chernabog patted Shadow's upper arm.
You don't worry. Nobody else is going to kill you. Nobody but me.
Shadow found the center of America at evening that same day, before it was fully dark. It was on a slight hill to the northwest of Lebanon. He drove around the little hillside park, past the tiny mobile chapel and the stone monument, and when Shadow saw the one-story 1950s motel at the edge of the park, his heart sank. There was a huge black car parked in front of it, a Humvee which looked like a Jeep reflected in a funhouse mirror, as squat and pointless and ugly as an armored car. There were no lights on in the building. They parked beside the motel, and as they did so, a man in a chauffeur's uniform and cap walked out of the motel and was illuminated by the headlights of the bus. He touched his cap to them politely, got into the Humvee, and drove off.
Big car, tiny dick.
Do you think they'll even have beds here? It's been days since I slept in a bed. This place looks like it's just waiting to be demolished.
It's owned by hunters from Texas. Come up here once a year. Damned if I know what they're hunting. It stops the place being condemned and destroyed.
They climbed out of the bus. Waiting for them in front of the motel was a woman Shadow did not recognize. She was perfectly made up, perfectly coiffed. She reminded him of every newscaster he'd ever seen on morning television sitting in a studio that didn't really resemble a living room, smiling at the good morning crowd.
Lovely to see you,
she said.
Now you must be Chernabog. I've heard a lot about you. And you're Anansi, always up to mischief, eh? You jolly old man. And you must be Shadow. You've certainly led us a merry chase, haven't you?
A hand took his, pressed it firmly, looked him straight in the eye.
I'm Media. Good to meet you. I hope we can get this evening's business done as pleasantly as possible.
The main doors opened.
Somehow, Toto,
said the fat kid Shadow had last seen sitting in a limo.
I don't believe we're in Kansas anymore.
We're in Kansas. I think we must have driven through most of it today. Damn, but this country is flat.
This place has no lights, no power, and no hot water. And no offense, you people really need the hot water. You just smell like you've been in that bus for a week.
I don't think there's any need to go there. We're all friends here. Come on in. We'll show you to your rooms. We took the first four rooms. Your late friend is in the fifth. All the ones beyond room five are empty. You can take your pick. I'm afraid it's not the Four Seasons, but then, what is?
She opened the door to the motel lobby for them. It smelled of mildew, of damp and dust, and of decay. There was a man sitting in the lobby in the near darkness.
You people hungry?
I can always eat.
Driver's gone out for a sack of hamburgers. He'll be back soon.
He looked up. It was too dark to see faces, but he said,
Big guy, you're Shadow, huh? The asshole who killed Woody and Stone?
No,
said Shadow.
That was someone else, and I know who you are.
He did. He had been inside the man's head.
Your town. Have you slept with Wood's widow yet?
Mr. Town fell off his chair. In a movie, it would have been funny. In real life, it was simply clumsy. He stood up quickly, came toward Shadow.
Don't start anything you're not prepared to finish.
Mr. Nancy rested his hand on Shadow's upper arm.
Truce, remember? We're at the center.
Mr. Town turned away, leaned over to the counter, and picked up three keys.
You're down at the end of the hall. Here.
He handed the keys to Mr. Nancy and walked away into the shadows of the corridor. They heard a motel room door open, and they heard it slam. Mr. Nancy passed a key to Shadow, another to Chernabog.
Is there a flashlight on the bus?
No. But it's just dark. You mustn't be afraid of the dark.
I'm not. I'm afraid of the people in the dark.
Dark is good,
said Chernabog. He seemed to have no difficulty seeing where he was going, leading them down the darkened corridor, putting the keys into the locks without fumbling.
I will be in room 10,
he told them. And then he said,
Media, I think I have heard of her. Is it she the one who killed her children?
Different woman. Same deal.
Mr. Nancy was in room 8, in shadow opposite the two of them, in room 9. The room smelled damp and dusty and deserted. There was a bed frame in there with a mattress on it, but no sheets. A little light entered the room from the gloaming outside the window. Shadow sat down on the mattress, pulled off his shoes, and stretched out at full length. He had driven too much in the last few days. Perhaps he slept. He was walking. A cold wind tugged at his clothes. The tiny snowflakes were little more than a crystalline dust which gusted and flurried in the wind. There were trees, bare of leaves in the winter. There were high hills on each side of him. It was late on a winter's afternoon. The sky and the snow had attained the same deep shade of purple. Somewhere ahead of him, in this light distances were impossible to judge, the flames of a bonfire flickered, yellow and orange. A gray wolf padded through the snow before him. Shadow stopped. The wolf stopped also and turned and waited. One of its eyes glinted yellowish green. Shadow shrugged and walked toward the flames, and the wolf ambled ahead of him. The bonfire burned in the middle of a grove of trees. There must have been 100 trees planted in 2 rows. There were shapes hanging from the trees. At the end of the rows was a building that looked a little like an overturned boat. It was carved of wood, and it crawled with wooden creatures and wooden faces. Dragons, griffins, trolls, and boars, all of them dancing in the flickering light of the fire. The bonfire was so high and burning so hard that Shadow could barely approach it. The wolf seemed unfazed, and it padded around the crackling fire. He waited for it to return, but in place of the wolf, a man walked back around the fire. He was leaning on a tall stick.
You are in Uppsala, in Sweden,
said the man in a familiar gravelly voice.
About 1,000 years ago,
Wednesday?